Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, sports editor for the Union Tribune. I'm in Arizona. Jay in San Diego.
Hey, Kevin, it's really hot in San Diego. Can you, you know, I think it's like over 90 out here. Can you give us an idea how it is in Phoenix?
I think it's only 105. I got about 10 degrees more before we get to maximum temperature for today. A little cool spell tomorrow, 112. So, fortunately, Padres obviously play inside here. I do not understand how in the 8 blocks or so that I have to go from my hotel to Chase Field and I walk, how much higher will my body temperature go? Wearing a mask? I mean, I went out to get some lunch right after I got here, just walked down to the old Jimmy John's. My gosh, it is hot. Man, it's hot.
I got 113 on the phone right now for... Okay. For Phoenix and 95 at 95 at my house. So, but the good news is it's 13% humidity where you are. So it only feels like 113 also.
I was going to say, you know what? It's weird. It only felt like 110 or something. anyway, you know,
I'm worried about you getting in the building tonight when they check your temperature for, I was thinking about that just being outside for like 3 seconds, there's got to be a concern there. I would think anybody under like 108 or something would get to come in. How could you be any cooler than that?
Well, here's the crazy thing about these temperature things. They run it across your head. It's real convenient. That's awesome. I'm glad we don't have to do it the old-fashioned way, all of us waiting there for like 3 minutes. Do you know that sometimes your temperature is like 94? It registers like... Yeah. Before, like you're dead, basically.
I've wondered that as well. My normal temperature is always like 97 something anyway.
Right.
And then sometimes it shows up like 90, 95 or something, and you do start to wonder what the low should really be. But anyway, I'm glad you made it there safely, and wish you well on your travels across those 8 blocks.
It sounds like a little bit, but it's a long way.
That's a lot. I mean, I would tell you to take an Uber, but I'm not sure you're any safer in an Uber these days either.
Yeah. I heard the heat kills the Rona, so no. I don't really care about it here anyway. I don't think it exists in Arizona. We're playing the Diamondbacks for 3. As we knew, Cal Quantrill tomorrow, but the Padres, just as we're taping this, made it official, and Garrett Richards on Sunday. You know, the stopper, Denelson Lamet. I will say this, Denelson Lamet is facing these guys for the second time in 6 days and the third time in 21 days. If he throws like he did last Sunday, he could face the Diamondbacks every day, and I don't think that they would do much better. But roundly considered to be advantage when you face a guy this this frequently.
Yeah, that makes sense, and certainly, you know, after the last couple of nights, the Padres do need a big effort from the guy that right now looks like he's clearly their best starter. I guess we can go back and look at what happened the last 4 days.
We should.
There's two different ways, obviously, to look at this. I mean, the one way is if you would have given the Padres a split at the start of the series, I'm sure. You know, they would have taken it. I'm sure most fans would have said, yeah, sure, that's okay. Again, the way it turned out, where you win the first two, obviously you're hoping for more. So it depends on, I guess, you know, if you're looking at the big picture, if you're looking at the last couple of games. I mean, I look at it where I've never thought the Padres were as good as the Dodgers anyway. So they played them 7 times so far this year. They won 3 of them. They were certainly in 2 of the games. Last night was never close after the first couple innings. But so you go 3-4. There's 40 games to play. The Padres are 11-9. They are on a pace to win 33 games, if you believe in that stuff. 33 games will get them in the postseason, I'm sure. And they only have to play the Dodgers 3 more times in those 40 games. Like, of course, they only get to play Arizona 3 more times as well. But I don't know. I mean, I have not been on social media much today, which is, you know, probably good for my health. So I don't know what is going on out there. But to me, the Padres are fine. They're 11-9. Yeah, it's disappointing the way that the last couple games went. Is that room service calling for you?
No. I always have to have, I'm getting old, Jay, and I got to have the phone, the ringer on. I don't want to miss a call from someone, but I can tell.
What a rookie. But anyway, to me, the Padres are fine. They're 11-9. They only have to play the Dodgers three more times. You know, who knows what the rest of the National League looks like, but outside of the West, it doesn't look like there's that much strength, you know, other than the Cubs. And there's 40 games to go, so it's certainly not time to be panicking by any means.
Absolutely agree with you. 5-5, and this, you know, we talked about this 13-game stretch against the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks to kind of finish their start of 23 at the beginning of the season where they're playing NL West. They're 5-5. If they can go, you know, get these last couple and be, what, 7-6 in the 13. And like you said, you were very eloquent in how you explained it. On pace for 33. So at the next third marker of the season, they could be 22-18. I feel the same way after this series as I did after the last one. You know, the Padres took the first one of three at Petco and then got beat. And they got beat, you know, pretty good by a good team. And then they got beat even worse the last two of the one at Dodger Stadium. And Dodgers, you know, they are who they are.
I'm not trying to sound like I'm making any sort of excuses for the Padres. There are some reasons to be concerned. And yeah, you could look at it and say they should be better than 11-9, maybe another couple wins thrown in there. But, you know, to measure the Padres and use the Dodgers as the measuring stick, to me, is just the wrong approach to take right now. The Padres are not a team that is as good as the Dodgers. And I don't think there's anybody realistically that could have gone into this season and said, oh yeah, the Padres are better than the Dodgers. So the fact they went 3-4 against them, and yeah, maybe they could have won another game or two out of that, but they didn't, because the Dodgers did what they do, which is, you know, beat teams up with that lineup. You look at that lineup last night, that's a pretty good lineup. They have Chris Taylor hitting 8. That's pretty good. And look, you know, and one of the reasons to be concerned with the Padres is Chris Paddock has not been all that great since the opener. But again, Chris Paddock has pitched in 31 big league games. That's basically one season as a big leaguer. He's 24 years old. I think it's a little early to start saying that you know, we should all be concerned that Chris Paddock isn't going to be any good. I looked up a couple numbers. You know, his ERA through those games, even after last night, is 3.57. And I just decided, well, I wonder what a guy like Justin Verlander had done after those picks. Because, look, if Chris Paddock can turn out to be anything close to Justin Verlander's career, I think a lot of people here are going to be really happy. Verlander's rookie season, he was 23, and he had 30 starts in that season. His ERA was 3.63. So basically what Paddock is, his adjusted ERA, the ERA plus, was slightly better, 125 to 119. His second year, Verlander was 3.66. His third year, Verlander was 4.84. And I'm sure at that point, he had had like 100 starts. And it was kind of like, whoa, what's going on? So I there's always this rush to judgment. You know, Paddock's got to make adjustments. You know, he's got to be better in certain areas. He certainly has to be better against the Dodgers. That's the one team that's really given him problems. But I would really caution Padre fans, and I know this is hard for any fan, you always want to jump to conclusions. I think if you had good feelings about the Padres going into the Dodgers series, you should still have good feelings about them coming out of it. All right, I'm done.
I let you go there because I thought that you were right on. Yeah, there's some metrics, I guess, that I've seen out there that, I don't know, I'm just not ready to disagree with you. I'm not ready to say, oh, wow, this is very troubling about Chris Paddock. Look, there's something wrong with the fastball, and it has been for the majority of these five starts. The velocity is fine. It's a tick off. And here's the thing. He's faced the Dodgers twice, right? I mean, he actually beat them in his previous start somehow. Right. He went 6 innings. What was it, 2 or 3 runs? He's got to figure that out. He's got to fix some things. But to start breaking everything down and say that Chris Paddock is broken, we'd be crazy to do that at this point.
Right. Yeah.
You know, to the point of the Dodgers, you know, the best team doesn't always win the World Series. The Padres didn't fall out of World Series contention last night. Crazy things happen in the playoffs. I'm not convinced the Nationals were the best team. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to think they were the best team. They won the World Series. They had that starting pitching. They had the clutch hitting, whatever. But were they really better than the Astros? Were they really better than the Yankees? So this season isn't over. Far from it. It's kind of hilarious how we all write it. Heck, you're trying to go every single day. And what's awesome about this season, I'll say this. What is awesome about this season is being able to have that feeling. Like, to even, like, be like, hey, you know what? At the start of last night's game, hey, this is a big game. They got those two runs in the first inning. Hey, wow, I wonder if they're going to step it up and pour it on the archers here in the finale. But let me ask you this. If that were freaking game seven, is Edward Olivares and Jorge Mateo the outfield for you?
How much, you know, if the Padres had won last night, they'd be 12-8, right? Instead of 11-9. I mean, I just don't see that there's a, other than the obvious, it's one game. I don't see that there's a big difference there in the feeling about this team or why people should feel any different. You would have the same reasons to be excited about the team and, you know, the same reasons to be concerned. I mean, obviously there's Paddock, you know, the fifth starting spot, Cal Quantrill's going to get his shot on Saturday. You know, Lamet's been great. Garrett Richards has been pretty good. Zach Davies has been pretty, really good, especially the other night. So, I mean, the rotation's been strong. The bullpen, Luis Perdomo got hit last night. But, I mean, like you said, if that was game seven, is Luis Perdomo out there in that situation? So the bullpen's been better. You know, we haven't seen Kirby Yates for almost a week now, I think. So we'll see how much of a concern that is. But Drew Pomeranz is certainly, and Pagan as well, more than capable of stepping in. You know, Tommy Pham has been hitting the ball hard, not always with the best luck. You can get into the offense a little bit. Some guys are scuffling a little, but they're still, you know, for the most part, they're scoring runs.
Tatis is 0-9.
Yeah, Tatis is hitless in his last nine, which probably hasn't even happened more than once.
He's in his fifth two-game slump right now.
Okay. But he's never gone three without.
Nope. Huge night tonight. Historic night. I want to point out, I did in my newsletter, I didn't make a huge deal out of it. I was subtle about it like the Dodgers were subtle about it. But their close game last night were, we don't need to talk about it. Team on the other side, after Tuesday's game, was doing a lot of talking about how good they were. And I want to say this, other than the fact that they are awesome and they have awesome players, the Dodgers are freaking boring. All right. In the bullpen, they're almost too good. They're businesslike. They've won seven division titles. They've, you know, been there, done that. They bring in a guy, Mookie Betts, who's been, you know, won a World Series, and, you know, fits right in. All right, the Padres, their swagger is a part of not only why they're entertaining, but I believe why they're good. And rather, I think, watch the Padres right now, just because, I don't know, like I said, color by numbers when you're that good. I mean, how has Dave Roberts not won World Series? I sound like a Dodger fan. But I just thought that was interesting last night, that the Dodgers were like, yeah, we know how good they are. We don't need to talk about it. Because the LA media, it was like they suddenly noticed that the Padres might not be the Padres anymore. And they were a lot of questions. I'm telling you, the first night, not to betray things that are set up there, but it was like they hadn't noticed that the Padres were playing better. And then the questions started with Dave Roberts and the players. And so I thought that was an interesting shift.
Roberts got a little testy on one of those games, right? Or before one of those games, answering questions. But yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, and again, if the Dodgers had lost last night, I don't think they would be too concerned either. So what else are we keeping an eye on? What about the offense? Who are you watching? Who's been good? Who hasn't been good? What have you noticed in the last few days?
Well, the catchers. It's the theme. I mean, Francisco Mejia looks awful. Austin Hedges isn't hitting, but Austin Hedges looks like Austin Hedges.
Right.
Mejia was supposed to be better than this offensively. And he's terrible. So what I'm saying is, like, that's like, you know, everybody's hope, like, oh, we'll play Mejia more. I'm sorry. And it's pretty clear, as much as they talk up Francisco Mejia's defense, Austin Hedges has become sort of like the closer of the catchers when a slight lead late in a game. So, you know, the catcher position, is something. And so you got this hole at the bottom of the lineup. I keep an eye on Jake Cronenworth. Look, he's playing every day, and he's playing every day at the big leagues. He's playing in an intense situation. And to me, he looks a little tired. And that's completely understandable. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Understandable. And it could be that a day two blow and Jake Cronenworth is back hitting whatever, right? I haven't looked too deep into what kind of pitches he's getting beat on or whatever, but he hasn't been as sharp in the field either. His offense was doing pretty well without Manny and without Tommy Pham getting hits, both of them fairly hitting the ball fairly well, even getting on a little bit. To me, this offense seems to be kind of a tenuous situation right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes, like last night, I just got this feeling they hit the two home runs, and this was kind of something where I noticed this more in the last couple of years when they weren't as good. But they might score early, and I guess this year's team really hasn't scored a lot early. But in the past, the Padres might score early, and then you might see a couple innings where they didn't score, and you'd think, you know what, they're not doing anything again the rest of tonight. And I kind of got that sense last night. Like, yeah. Urias set him down in a couple innings in a row. And then even before the game got out of hand, I just kind of had this sense like, wow, are they just shut down now? And so I'm not sure how consistent they are. And I mean, they need to be careful with Hosmer, which I know you've written about because of the illness, and you can't just put him back in there every day. Maybe Greg Garcia gets a little more time. Coming up here, and I'm not sure who else. I mean, you can use Mateo a little bit more in the infield. You've written they're going to give guys a break and DH Tatis a day. If they do that, I would assume Cronenworth would play short. So Garcia or Profar would be at second. So I think there's different reasons to be a little bit worried. But again, they've got a winning record, and we'll see what happens now. With one more shot against Arizona here over the weekend. And then getting into a little different part of the schedule where you've got, Texas for four games, the Astros, who have not been very good, for three. Those are teams, neither one of them I don't think is playing all that well right now.
Right. That's what, they want to get into, it looks like the schedule could get a little easier because we've been through that rigmarole before.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, I think, as an observer of the team. So I would imagine as a fan of the team for it to actually matter, like you're kind of riding the wave, right? Like the Nelson Lamet goes out tonight and, does what he's been doing. You're like, man, look at these guys. They're 12-9. Nelson Lamet, he's not getting enough credit. And last night was just, hey, what last night was? That was an opportunity to get to bed earlier. That thing. There you go.
Well, I mean, the schedule, the next 13 games are against teams that all have losing record right now. Now, one of those teams is the Astros, but again, that's only three. But you've got three with Arizona, you've got four with Texas, three with Houston, three with Seattle. So, those are teams that you're not playing the Dodgers in those games. So let's see what happens during that stretch.
Tonight is the kind of night I want to say, because Fernando Tatis has looked not great at the plate the last couple nights. It's the kind of night where basically his entire career, which is what, 103 games now or something?
Something like that.
104, whatever. Basically his entire career where you're like, hey, is Fernando Tatis going to go in a slump? And he hits two home runs.
Right.
Or he hits a bunt single and a home run that goes, 460 feet. That's what kind of like, I'd almost be surprised at this point if that doesn't happen tonight, because that's what he's done all year. And he'll do it on the same kind of pitch, the breaking pitch out on the outside of the plate. He'll go the other way with it. Or maybe he'll pull it down the line. And you're like, oh my gosh, this guy, you can't make adjustments on him. So I'm very interested. And that sounds funny after two games and nine at bats, but who he's been for this, season and a half, 105 games, whatever it is. Because he has not looked good.
He did almost make that one spectacular play in the field that we had talked about that we hadn't seen. Just getting that ball was amazing. He never had a chance to throw. One really good play in the hole. I don't know if it was last night or the night before where he intentionally bounced the ball to first. And got a guy there. I thought that was really, really good, but I no knocks against him in the field far at all.
I'm getting nitpicky here because, you know, we're talking about a guy that we think has Hall of Fame potential 105 games in.
Right.
That dive last night was the kind of play that I thought that he hadn't made. Of course, they hadn't been in a game where they lost. They were losing by seven. But I thought, you know, Fernando, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you weren't supposed to do this year was go for that ball right there. But, hey, I'm nitpicking. But I'll tell you what, he comes up hurt after that, or he has to sit out today after that dive. Then you guys are going, oh, Kevin, you were kind of right about that. So I'm covering all my trustees' faces tonight. I'm covering them all.
Aren't we always saying that, Kevin, you're right about something?
I have not heard that in a long time. Well, I do have a better chance when I'm on the road than at home to hear it.
I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know anything about that, however.
Oh, Jay, you're the king of your castle. It's good to see the lava there. All right, everybody, playing the Diamondbacks again. I don't know about you, but, man, I'm ready. I just feel a little flat. I'm just ready for this to be over.
I know. I can't wait for Monday when you're in Texas and we can talk about another team. And I got to go I'll have to do a little research on the Rangers. Not a team you see very much.
But. Yeah, two games there and then two games in San Diego. One of those. So, all right, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Have a good weekend.